recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another evening of Virtual Talk Show for Married Men. This is a place where you will want to come and discuss, where men get together and discuss topics on marriage, on life, and about being a man, and how we can become better men. And at the end of the day, stay at our homes and not go to the divorce court. We come to you tonight live from www.wnjr-newark.com. So we give a shout out to all those radio users. And we also come for you live from www.talkshoe.com. We're here tonight to talk about a huge amount of things. But before we do that, I want to give you a little example of what we talk about. If you go to our website at www.householdstress.com, you will find that we have two different types of things. We have a lot of different information. We have one that's called the head of household, and that's our men. That's us getting on this phone like we're doing right now and talking about a lot of different topics. And then we also have one called the better half, and this is where our women get on the phone and we have a conversation. They have a conversation about us, men. And their topic tonight is warning signs. Do you really know when your relationship is going south before all hell breaks loose? Let me say that again. From the better half, warning signs. Do you really know when your relationship is going south before all hell breaks loose? So you can chime in either one of these calls at 724-444-7444. The call ID to listen to the men's call and chat or talk live is 59898. And for the women, you will want to dial that same number, 724-444-7444, to listen to the better half. And their call-in ID number is 65013. That's 65013. All right, now that we got that out the way, let's go ahead on and get started. Our topic tonight, double standards. Does your marriage suffer them? How does this affect your marriage? What is the cause for double standards? We don't usually stop to think about them until someone says something that makes us grind our teeth. But I want to let you know, if you hold on to any double standards, how does that affect your marriage? Men, do you view the opposite sex through any double standard glasses? I'm especially interested to hear if any men will admit to upholding a double standard view on some subjects. So which one plays a role in your life? And which do you think is this for others, but that you try not to take part in? Or do you think that double standards don't even exist anymore? That's something that's in the past. These are things we want to talk about tonight. But let's start with the definition of double standards. Excuse me. I saw it in the dictionary as a noun, a set of principles permitting greater opportunity or liberty to one than to another, especially the granting of the greater sexual freedom to men than to women. Wow, that word sexual is in there. I know we're going to talk about that tonight somewhere in here. It is amazing how petty people who say they love each other can actually be in day-to-day life. Love, by definition, means that we prefer the other person over ourselves, putting them first, being willing to give ourselves to them. Yet, in actual life, we often forget to do this. While expecting the other person to still keep us up on whatever pedestal we have predetermined in our minds, double standards always cause resentment in people they are used against. Let me say that again, because it's very, very important. Double standards always cause resentment in people they are used against. Resentment can cause bitterness and in the end can actually destroy a marriage. How do we do this? By establishing these double standards. What are they? Double standards are those times when we expect others to act towards us by a set of rules we don't fulfill ourselves. By a set of rules we don't even fulfill ourselves. Anytime we expect our spouses to do something for us, what we won't do for them if they asked us, or be something for us that we aren't going to do for them. We are operating on two sets of rules in our marriage. So, I'm just going to throw one out there, and let's see if we can talk about it and let's see how things go. There seems to be in marriage, if before marriage, I know we had a topic a couple of weeks ago with prenup, and this deals with that. If a man is rich, he should give his woman half in the divorce. But if the woman is rich, should she have a prenup or give her man anything or nothing? That's the question out to the audience. You need me to read that again?
Yeah.
Okay. If a man is rich, he should give his woman half in a divorce. But if the woman is rich, she should have a prenup or give her man nothing in a divorce. Anybody want to talk about that?
So the options are...
What kind of rich are you talking about?
Yeah.
Celebrity rich or
yeah,
regular
I mean,
just, rich?
Rich can be anything. I mean, rich can be my mother died and I'd inherit this land.
Hmm.
And should she get half of that land now that we're married? Or rich could be, you know, I have a good job. Or rich can be celebrity rich. Just financially.
Yeah, I just think celebrity rich is just a little.
Just
celebrity rich might be a little
all.
Bit different. Because they know going in, you know, that a prenup may be in order. Average people kind of don't think of it as much. But to answer your question, I think the same rules should apply with the 50%.
You think it should? Why? I
it
mean,
should, yeah.
If you did all the work, I mean, we talked about this months, weeks ago. Why should that person receive something?
Well, you
they
said
did
marriage,
before.
And then... Okay.
Just a question.
But you still leave with half, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that person
that
still leaves with half. But isn't that a double standard? But, you know, from a man's point of view, regardless of what he has, if anything goes wrong in a marriage, he's entitled to give her half.
Hmm.
If a prenup is not in place. That was just something I picked out of of one of our calls.
Well, I mean, but see, I think that's a good question because you don't really hear women talking about prenups.
No, you don't.
I think it's the men. I think it's a man thing. I could be wrong, but, you know, the last time, you know, I mean, just look at Tiger Woods. They talked about Tiger Woods' prenup. They didn't talk about his wife's prenup, and I understood she had money, too, coming in.
She didn't have.
But they talked about his prenup.
She didn't have jack. She was cleaning toilets.
But wasn't she a model? Like she had model money, you know. It wasn't.
Her family had money.
She was cleaning toilets.
Or she was a nanny, but her family had money.
And raising their kids.
Wow. I mean, these
well,
are
still, she didn't have a prenup.
No.
She ain't get no money to nup out.
Mm-mm. So is a prenup a double standard?
And if you
I'll let you answer that one because that was your topic.
If you got Tiger Woods money coming in and you don't get a prenup, you have no brain.
Well, even if you don't have anything.
I mean, the one thing about it is that,
for love.
Yeah, one thing about it is that the double standard, which you, you know, back to your question, is that the standard is that the man should be the provider. So that's why the you know, women aren't talking about prenups, because when they leave or when there's a breakup, the assumption is not that, you know, that they're responsible for taking care of their husband. You know, it's always that, you know, the husband is responsible for taking care of the wife. So that's why.
I guarantee you one thing. If Oprah ever gets married, she's going to have a prenup.
You're right about that. That is right about
that's
it.
That's why she's not married now.
You got it all right.
Yeah. And that kind of goes with.
Probably why she's not.
Yeah, and that probably goes with my next question is that dealing with age, okay? If a man is over 35 and not married, there's a problem. But if a woman is in the same situation, she is golden.
There's a problem, too, in my book.
Is there?
See, I
why you not married?
It's the opposite. I think a woman that's over 35 and not married, she's an old maid. She's in trouble.
Mm.
Dude is just an elusive bachelor.
Because I actually got that question from ladies at work I believe this is one of the topics we talked about with the independent woman. Is that they're more into their careers now. So they're not looking to get married young. That, you know, the independent woman now is looking to get married after becoming successful themselves in their career.
Now, I have a problem with that. And the reason why I have a problem with that, how can you dictate? I mean, really, how can you dictate? And see, that is an independent woman thing. Because how can you dictate when it's time to get married? How can you say, okay, well, this is why I'm going to wait till such and such, such. You got this guy, y'all in love, everything's right, and it's no, you know, I'm going to hold off till I'm 40 so we can get married.
Hmm.
Well, there's a lot of women today saying, I'm not going to get married until my career is in line. I got my own house, my own car, my own everything.
Yeah.
Independent.
Independent woman. That was last week's topic, matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And you, when you look at these things, especially, a lot of these questions I get from just our old topics is that there is a double standard when it comes to a lot of this stuff between men and women. We look at things, is it just because we look at things differently?
Well, I think there's a double standard. I mean, if a dude is out there gunslinging, he's a player. If a woman's out there, she's a slut.
Exactly.
Hey, and that was one of my questions later on down the line. But, yeah, hypocrisy. I mean, being a hypocrite. Is that part of being?
He's out there sowing his wild oats, and she's out there hoeing around.
Man. We're knocking on some folks' doors out there. In radio land, I guarantee you we're knocking on some folks' doors right now. Let's move on. Here's another standard. This is number 3. A man should want a successful, high-earning wife. But that wife should not be expected to pay for a darn thing.
Whatever.
Whatever, right? I mean,
for sure.
I mean, just think about it. You know, we want, sometimes we've been told to date in your class, you know, if you're a graduate from college, you should look for a graduate, somebody who's on your level. And sometimes you might hit the jackpot and find somebody who makes more money. But even with that, should the head of household still be responsible for everything?
Well,
even though he's not the breadwinner.
I mean, they have to pay everything? I mean, you know, to me, our money is our money. It's not my money, your money. So I don't see it that way.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, it just goes into the one big pot.
It goes into one big pot. But the old saying is, you know, our money is their money, and their money is their money. So women always like to stash a little something on the side, but for a rainy day. But they feel that, you know.
We do, too. We do, too. We got Mama Don't Know accounts as well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I do, but.
Men in general.
You know,
men out there.
Men in general, yeah.
And hold on, I got another one here, man. I'm getting these questions from not only the internet, but from people that I work with or just conversations you have around the round table. All right, here's another one. A woman that has waited to get her career going before marriage was smart, but the man that does the same somehow is doing so because he is afraid of commitment. You know, I got that from a woman.
Wow.
I'm going to read that again because I heard a while. A woman that has waited to get her career going before marriage was smart, but a man that does the same somehow is doing so because he is afraid of commitment.
I like that.
I didn't know how to answer that one. I need some help on that.
Definitely a great question.
Yeah.
Definitely great. I think
that is a great question, but I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to really answer that one fully. I need some help on that one.
Well, how many men do that? How many men get their career straight before getting married? I don't think that marriage hinders us from doing anything that we need to do in life as men, because we're going to make it happen with a wife on our arm or not, most of us.
Usually we
do it. You know what I'm saying? So we don't, you know. Most of us fear marriage itself, period, regardless whether we got our career together or not. You know, that whole big commitment thing. But once we get in our mind that we are going to make that commitment, we don't care whether we married or not. We just make it happen.
Yeah. We just make it happen, man. I mean, when I saw it, I'm like, well, isn't that what as individuals we're supposed to do anyway? We're supposed to get our career together, and then in the process, if we find somebody, that support system that help us, give us that extra boost.
Yeah, I think you can do both. I mean, I think that I don't know if you should focus on just your career and just you know, I think it's feasible to do both, and I think doing one without the other is you know, it can be problematic because you got blinders on, you know, and that's on both parts. That's on the women's part as well as the man's part. So you're just focusing on the career piece, then you might miss out on a great relationship opportunity just because you're trying to climb the career ladder.
That is good. Hey, I mean, those are four that I caught. But listen, I want to open this up to the floor. And feel free, fellas, if you want to add some double standards that you may have on your mind at this time. You know? And anybody out there and at WNJRNewark.com that wants to chime in, please call in to 724-444-7444-59898. And please join the call and give us your thoughts on double standards. Does anybody have a double standard they want to bring in at this time? All right. Well, let me here's some that I kind of wrote up, and this is almost like a fill in the blank. So let's talk about a few of these. If you put a woman on a pedestal and try to protect her from the rat race, you are a male what? I'll read that again. Finish the question. If you put a woman on a pedestal and try to protect her from the rat race, you are a male. I said chauvinist pig.
To protect her from the rat race.
Yeah. You put your wife on a pedestal.
Break that down
for me. The rat race would be society, you know. You put your wife on this pedestal, as we do with all our wives. This is the greatest woman. She's my wife. She takes care of me, blah, 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 blah. However, you know, you're looking at everybody else's women totally different. So they're calling you a male chauvinist pig. That's the way I looked at it.
I mean, a chauvinist, I mean, they think that they're inferior, you know, women are inferior to men. So if you're putting the woman on a pedestal, I don't know if that's,
it's just that you're inferior to her, you know. It's just because you're putting this woman on this pedestal that you're, what are you saying?
It makes you inferior to her?
Yeah.
No.
That's the way I looked at it.
You put her on a pedestal.
Yeah. But in putting her on the pedestal, I mean, you know, it's like, hey, this is my woman. I'll take care of her, and I get beat up by her too if I need it. You know, I'll take her crap as long as she takes mine. So let me move to another one. All right, now here is some double standards men face in today's world with women, okay? If you stay at home, men, if you stay at home and do housework, you are called a what?
Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom, a pansy.
Housewife.
Housewife.
House husband.
Mm-hmm. What about the ones that lazy? There's some women that will call you lazy because they expect you, when you lose your job and you say, well, you're working while I'm waiting at home, I take care of the home stuff, you know, while I'm waiting on this other job to come through. But then they get mad at you because you took a 5-minute break and they saw you sitting on the couch, so they're calling you lazy. Isn't that a double standard?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of difficult to win that one. I mean, yeah, but it's kind of difficult to be in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, most men aren't in that.
As a man.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, because what we've been taught, that just shouldn't happen. But today's society is totally different.
Because I feel if I'm losing my job, I'm out there finding another job, you know. It's easier now because you've got a laptop and you can go to monster.com or whatever. But that's not getting you a job, you know. Me having a resume in hand, going to the companies, might get me a better chance of getting a job. So you do become a little lazy if you sit at home, because after you've done that 30-minute of job hunting, what is there to do for the rest of the day?
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. So who's to say that the woman would be better suited to stay at home than the man? So that could be a double standard, too.
You're right. Right.
Let's just say the woman's got a great job, and somebody's got to stay at home with the kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the man can not only take care of the kids, but he can take care of the inside and the outside of the house as well. But do some
That's
of those
true.
Things, the maintenance and all that kind of stuff, during the day. that the woman would probably have to hire somebody to come and do.
That's definitely a double standard.
Now, you might be right on that. But I don't know too many men who are going to just sit there at home and want to take that responsibility, even if the woman is the breadwinner.
Yeah, because he would be looked down upon.
Mm-hmm.
But
you hear more and more of that every day.
On his leg.
We've heard it a lot on this call.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what it would be. I'm just saying that's how he would be looked down. I mean, you know, he'd have a hard time looking at the man in the mirror. Because he'd get around and he'd be talking about the soap operas, and they'd be looking at him like, dude, check your man card.
Yeah, because it's a double standard in society. That's what y'all are getting at.
And now if a woman did that, it's like, oh, well, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom. She puts the kids down and watches TV for a minute. But if a guy did that, he'd be looked at as lazy. He'd be looked at as, you know, not pulling his weight. He'd be looked at as less than a man and definitely not masculine.
Good word.
Heavy word.
Good word. All right, here's another one. If you work too hard, there's never is time for her. If you don't work hard enough, you're good for nothing. You're good for nothing, bum. Let's just go on and just keep it real. So they want you to work hard, right? Women want you to work hard. But then when you do work hard, there's never enough time for them. Right? But if you don't, and you don't, you know, you just do whatever you got to do, then come home. And then they consider you a no good nothing bum. If you're not, you don't have that good strong work ethic. That goes back to almost being a Mr. Mom, right? I need you out there working hard for the family.
Well, it sounds like you can't win. If those are the odds.
Isn't that the double standard between men
like
and women,
though? You can't win.
You can't win none of it. You know, you do one thing right, and then something else pops up.
Well, you know, I think
a lot of it has
to do with lifestyle and agreeing on a lifestyle that's comfortable enough where you don't have to kill yourself. You know, but if you want the, you know, 4,000 square foot house and the BMWs and the Cadillacs and all that and the trips to wherever you want to go, and then you complain that I'm out having to work, I mean, that, you know, that's an oxymoron. We can't have it both ways.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it, man. I hear it all the time at work that, you know, even myself, I find myself working 12-hour days. Do I have to? No. But, you know, if we're going to keep the stuff that we want, then we got to do what we got to do. Because if not, then we're going to have another argument, which is double standard, on finances. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
At the end of the day, it all goes back in the box.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what Andrew said. I agree with what he just said. It's how you set yourself up. It's how you set your goals, your lifestyle. You know, I think that dictates it all. If you say, okay, just like you said, you need all these material things, you got to go out there and get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you say, okay, I'd rather take less material things and have more quality time with my family, then you'll take less of a commitment at the workplace.
It all
depends on what's important to you.
That is true.
I mean, at the end of the day, when you're laying on your deathbed, you know, it's not going to be, you know, how much money you made. It's not going to be, you know, how many cars you drove and how many clothes you got in your closet. It's really not.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be the relationships that you built with family and friends and how you were able to spend that time. Nobody's thinking on their deathbed, doggone, I got another project I need to knock out.
Yeah. And if any of you happen to be at my funeral, please don't ever talk about what kind of employee I was. You know what I mean? Oh, he was a great employee. No, That don't measure up to nothing.
I don't
want to be remembered of how faithful I was at the workplace. Mm-mm.
You're 100% right.
Some people live for that. Yeah, some people live for that, though. They want to, you know, to be known as the top producer or, you know, the one that advanced in the shortest amount of time, blah, blah, blah. That's what life means to a lot of people, you know, and they want it on their tombstone.
Think about this standard. If a guy does that, he's a go-getter. If a woman does that, she's a bee stepping on people's necks.
Hmm. And nobody wants to work for a bee.
Right. You get a man that's achieving. He's a go getter, a goal setter. You get a woman that's doing that. Chances are she's a tough. You know what?
You got it. You got it. All right. Here we go. I got a few more of these fellas. It's going great. I appreciate y'all hanging in there. Are these helping out any?
Mm-hmm.
These little situations were cool. And I listen to this one. All right. If she has a born repetitive job with low pay, it's exploitation. If you have a born repetitive job with low pay, you should get off your rear and find something better.
Wow.
So if she has a low-paying job, it's all right, you know, because you're the breadwinner. But if you got a low-paying job and the lights get ready to get cut off, then guess what? You need to get out of there, handle your business, find something better.
I agree with that, though.
But I agree with that, too.
I agree with that.
Man, I don't know. I got to stop standing around this table with these women, man, because they get... They gave you about 15 things to talk about tonight.
But I agree with that.
But I agree, too, because, I mean, we all been through it, man. There's been times where, hey, the bank account is looking like you got 10 cents in it. And we got to get this kid in, you know, in the summer school, you know. So I got to go out here and get job number two, make sure that the family's all right.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, as head of household, we bring the money and know how to delegate.
And we are. That's why we've got to look at things. What kind of lifestyle do we want to live?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at the end of the day, we are responsible.
We are. We're really responsible for all that goes on. And that's why these questions are coming up, is that there's double standards for men, and there's double standards for women. But we're going to find out after we go through all these at the end of tonight's call, it all is going to come back down on the men. Here's another one. If you get promoted ahead of her, it's favoritism. If she gets a job ahead of you, it's equal opportunity.
Wow.
Is that a true statement? I believe that is, too.
Mm.
There's some guys, you know, at work that get the job through the buddy system, where there's been some females at our job that have bust their tail and get looked right by, you know, bypassed. And these are all coming, you know, majority of these are from women, so... If you have one, if one comes up in your head, let's pull it out there. And for anybody new who is just joining us right now or on the radio or on the phone, our topic tonight is double standards. And we're just trying to figure out what these double standards are and if our marriages or in our life suffer from them. And then what type of effect does it cause, either our marriage or job or whatever? We just right now, I put a little questionnaire out there at work, and I pulled some data out of from the internet, and what we're talking about now is here are some double standards men face in today's world with women. All right, so here's another one. If you mention how nice she looks, it's sexual harassment, and we're talking the workplace now. If you keep quiet, it's male indifferences.
Huh? If you mention, now listen, to say you have a nice dress, I don't think it's sexual harassment. If you say, I like the way your boobs look in that dress, I think that might be sexual harassment.
That's over the line.
I think it's the way you,
the way you say it, right? It's the way it comes out of your mouth, how you speak it.
Exactly.
If you put a on it or something.
Like if you say, damn, you got some nice breath, that might be sexual harassment.
I mean, and this is kind of true because this happened to a friend of mine where he actually got fired from his job. And it wasn't that he was being sexual. It was just the way he said a comment to one of his boss ladies.
First of all, that's a total double standard because women are totally in control. It's not what you say. It's how they received it.
Right.
Right.
Mm.
Okay. Right. You could say, you know, you really look nice today. And they could say, that's sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you read the rules, it is how the woman is made, how she's made to feel. Well, y'all are married. You know today your woman feels one way, and tomorrow you did the same thing, and she feels totally different. We are in a hole with that deal.
Mm.
You know, you made me feel uncomfortable when you said I look nice. I should have said you look like crap.
Yeah, you all right today? Good
and
Lord.
Looking
fine.
That's definitely not sexual harassment.
That's right. That's telling the truth.
That's
speaking your mind.
What you ought to say to her is, you know, hey, been eating them Big Macs, huh?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I believe it. But when they do it to us, you know, and, you know, you got a nice tie on today, or, you know, your outfit, you know, looks good on you. You know, you might have on a polo and some slacks. We don't look at it that way.
Mm-mm. And if you did, you'd be looked at sideways. Come on, man, get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You punk? You can't take it? What? What, you don't like the girl? I mean, can you imagine that? You bringing that? Well, she said this. Uh-huh. And? What, you don't like girls? What? What's wrong with you?
Mm.
Talk about double standard.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. This one came from a guy. So we all know about this one. If you cry, you are a wimp. If you don't, you're insensitive. Are we supposed to show our ladies that we're okay, that it's all right to cry?
I think so.
I do too. I think so as well.
Cry more than my wife cries.
Definitely me. I definitely cry more than my wife does.
I don't know. I break a tear too myself. But in the outside world, other men may look at you double standard from a men's point of view as being a wimp.
Yeah, I was raised. My father told me, men don't cry. You suck it up. And I didn't cry from when I was 10 years old until I turned 40.
But that's how I'm teaching my son, too. It's like, you know, stop this crying. Get over it. Man,
that's a double standard right there.
So am I teaching my son double standard by saying man up?
You don't tell your daughter that.
No.
Suck it up.
But hold on. Yeah. It says it's all right for men to cry. It don't say for little boys. Now, if you're a man and you all right with your masculinity, that's fine. But little boys, I think he's doing right. Don't let that little boy start crying because that's going to be a problem for him. You know what I mean? I mean, if you got to come to mommy and daddy and cry, whatever the case may be, but that should be the end of it. If you're out in public and, you know, you can't get your way, don't start crying and throw a temper tantrum. Man up.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for clearing that up, because I was getting nervous there for a second. I was like, hold on, man. I don't know about this. We're going to have to sit there and talk about this one for a few minutes, because I got a boy. I got to knock him out. It's not toughening him up. It's just getting him prepared for things that's going to happen to him in society. Emotions is a big thing for a man. I mean, let's break crying down. Not even crying. It's just being emotional. You see it a lot. I mean, you probably see it in tonight's basketball game, whoever's watching the game, how you're rough and tough until the end of the game, and then at the end of the game, your emotions and your adrenaline gets the best of you, and you break down and cry.
Is the game on?
Yeah, the game's on. But the thing is that there's going to be some situations where you're going to have to stand up and take responsibility and make sure that you protect your family and do what you got to do. But they're still, you know, your wife is going to be looking for you for weakness. And there may be an opportunity that you want to cry where you might have to go into the room because you don't want to see your kids seeing you break down. So for men, I believe it is a double standard because if you do cry, you're going to have to do it in the shower when you're by yourself.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How's that crying thing working out for you guys? Because I haven't gotten there yet. Crying, you know, with the wife. And I mean, I just haven't, I guess, a crying situation hasn't come up. But,
yes, it has.
You know, how's
yes,
that working out? I mean.
No, a crying situation has come up. You just haven't been relaxed enough to release it, or you were, you know, harking yourself back to the young boy days where, you know, where men was telling you, you know, suck it up, whereas you're probably still in that frame of mind. But it's been some times where, I'm guaranteeing that
nobody
told me
to suck it up growing up. Yeah, nobody told me to, you know, suck it up. I just, for me, you know, I don't know why I haven't, you know. Hopefully I do get to that point where I feel comfortable enough, but, you know, I mean, truly, but I haven't. Go ahead.
Yeah, for me, you know, it's not a situation of, oh, you know, I'm going to sit down and cry over this or that. Usually there's obviously, you know, you have difficult situations. You know, we lost a baby, you know. You lost a grandmother. Obviously, those are situations. Well, maybe not for some people, but and it wasn't for a long time for me. I suck it up. You deal with it, you know. But since I got saved, that's been a different ball game. And when I saw what I had become, and what God showed me who I had become, it was a breaking thing for me. It was difficult, and I cried all the time, you know. And there's times still, you know, I'll be in church and you know, Lord just working on me and hey, the tears will flow. And that's just me. Whereas my wife, she very rarely cries, you know, but I mean, it's not a situation of weakness. You know, she doesn't look at me as being weak because that's where it is. But I, you know, believe me, my wife doesn't think I'm weak.
Yeah, same for me. My wife doesn't think I'm weak either. Really, she looks at it, you know, as me just being really in tune with myself and another form of expression. I mean, but that's also been who I've always been. You know, from when I can think back to being a little boy with my friends, I cry when I'm happy and I'm angry when I'm sad because I don't like not being in control. And that's always been my makeup. So when I get around my friends and we're having a good time and us guys, I'm the one usually that's going to get emotional and be like, you know what, I'm glad we're hanging out. I'm glad we're spending time together. I'm glad that you've accomplished this and that your son is doing this or your child is doing this and blah, blah, blah. And I usually end up crying. But you know what? They all know that. They know that that's who I am, and they just say, that's just P.O., man. That's what he does. He's happy, and that's just the way he expresses it. And it's just like that with how I interact with my wife and definitely things that are going on now with our little girl and things like that. You know, I was crying. We had a swim class, the water awareness class. And I was in there for, 2 months with my daughter in the water, and we were doing a class. Every class I cried, literally, every class. I mean, not bawling, falling down, but, you know, I'm holding back the tears, or I am shedding tears because I'm just happy. I'm really happy with the things that are going on and experiences that have been afforded to me and the blessings that I have. And my wife looks at that as, you know what, this is just my husband. And she looks at it as just another way for me to be able to express who I am. And she just lets me do it, you know. At first she was like, what can I do? How can I help? You know, she was like a little unnerved by it. But now, you know, I explained it to her, like, look, I'm good. Just, you know, just let me have this moment or whatever I'm doing, and I'll work through it. You know, and from there, you know, we've been all set. I mean, Rodney was at my wedding. I cried the whole time. My wife was iceberg slim. Not one tear. But the thing about it is that, you know, my family, everybody, they all knew that. My in-laws, they all know that about me. Because when I'm happy, that's what I do. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I haven't lost the beat with my wife with that. And it's not one of the things where she looks at it as being like, wow, this cat is weak or there's something going on. Because she knows that that's not the case at all. You know, that's not it at all. So I think it's one of those things, you just have to be confident in yourself and where you are when you get to that point. Because believe me, like was stated out, points have come up where you could have dropped a tear. You know, it could have happened, whether it was a positive thing or was it something of sadness. But it's just, you know, when you feel comfortable with, you know, the situation and the environment and those that are around you and with yourself, like all of those things, you'll be able to do it. And you know what? People are going to definitely respect you, and you won't lose anything from it.
My wife and I,
you know,
are excited to win. And I can't remember the last time I was at a wedding that I didn't cry.
Exactly. I cried at all my boys' weddings. They were looking at me like, you're crying? Yep.
I don't know about that, but that's a bit too much.
I never cried at the wedding, but, you know, there's been some funerals where, you know,
yeah,
I would have to step out of the room because you try to hold it in.
Nope. But crying at your own wedding, that's acceptable.
Nope.
But, I mean, y'all crying at your boy's wedding? Come on, man.
It reminds me of my own wedding. It reminds me of what God did for me.
Exactly. And I was happy for him. I mean, definitely from way. You know, I mean, it's something where you're really legitimately happy for your friend. And here's the thing. Everybody expresses it differently. That's all it is. That's it.
Hey, one of my boys cried at my wedding. And that took me and him to a whole nother level. That took our relationship to a whole nother level. You know, because to get emotional over something my day, you know, me and my wife's day, for him to get emotional of being just that happy and that excited about it, you know what I mean? I mean, that just shows, you know, just a level of respect and friendship to me, and I really appreciated that because he didn't hold back. Matter of fact, when he did, he walked away. He was my best man and walked away. You know what I'm saying? And had his moment, got himself together. I went over there with him. We had a moment, and then it was what it was. But, no, I think that was a great gesture.
Yeah.
Great gesture.
Wow.
And back to what you were saying, I'm so glad that, see, that's the good thing about these calls, because you never know who it's going to hit, when it's going to hit. But this is, see, Andrew brought up something very, very, very key to my crying issue, is that when I'm in church and I get confirmation of something that I've been dealing with, or I get the answer to a problem that I've been having, you know what I mean, or just whatever the case may be, I feel it coming on. But for some strange reason, I maintain it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that I'm not supposed to maintain it, but I maintain it anyway. I think I'm supposed to let those tears of joy flow. But for some strange reason, I just hold on. You know, and hearing you guys talk about this, you know, and I never thought it was just a weakness thing. I don't really know what it was. But I would just hold on and not cry and, you know, keep my composure, whatever the case may be. But, again, hearing you guys talk, I think maybe I need to learn to cry. That may help, you know, my worship. That may help me get through some of the things that I'm dealing with. Maybe I need to just let it go.
I'm going to tell you what. As far as the wedding is concerned, I've cried one time in my whole life at any wedding, and at which point I had to speak at the reception, and I could not stop. I could not stop crying. The father, the father of my buddy that got married, made all kinds of fun of me. But you know, but I knew what he got through to get to that point of being married to the most beautiful woman in his life. And it was an exciting thing for me to see that happen. You know.
Yeah. When you know, I understand because a few months ago I went down to Miami for my sister's 40th birthday party. And, you know, big event for her. And I knew it was going to happen. I just knew it, so I said, all y'all go first. Because I had to leave to get myself together just to come back and lose it all again right at my first word coming out of my mouth. That's just because it's only a few women that I love in my life right now, and she just has to be one of them. And to sit there and try to explain, you know, get up in front of folks and explain 40 years of, well, I didn't know her for 40 years. I only known her for, at that time, 35 years. So to just say for 35 years I've known this female, that took a lot out of me. And I couldn't hold it back, but it was cool. Everybody understood because everybody has a sister also. There was men that have sisters and there's sisters that have brothers that feel the same way that I felt, which ended up making them cry thinking about their own siblings. So, you know, it's all right to be a man and be emotional on situations. Now, now we got to be real about crying too. If there's a situation where you just can't handle, that you're not.
That's a different ballgame.
That's a different ballgame. You know, you're not handling your responsibility as a man and you sit there crying about it.
You need to man up.
You need to man up.
And some dude disrespects your woman and you sit there crying, that's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little different. I mean, it's not like when Kevin Garnett got in Big Baby and he started crying on the end of the bench. That's unacceptable.
Right.
Or when Cordell Stewart came out the game and was crying way back. I know y'all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That's unacceptable. that's a bit much. You know, that's a whole nother level, you know, because exactly what you said, you should be man enough. You know what? You weren't doing your job. We took you out the game. Okay?
Right.
This ain't Pop Warner. This is grown man business. That's it. I mean, there's nothing else. Hey, come on out the game until you can get it back together. Until you earn it.
Yeah. Well, anybody else? Or I think I got another one here. Let's see. Y'all ready? If you make a decision without consulting her, meaning your spouse, your girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, you could be considered a chauvinist. If you make a decision without consulting, if she makes a decision without consulting you, she's a liberated woman. So it's okay for her to make a decision that, especially marriage, when we're talking marriage, you know, she makes the executive decision for the family to do something without consulting you. But if you do it, then, you know, you got an argument all night, sleeping on the couch the whole night.
Yeah, both ways. Just.
Your phone was breaking up there, Andrew.
I said.
Still breaking up.
I said this. Man, I don't know what that echo is. Hello.
I'm here.
I must have a bad connection or something.
Can everybody hear?
Yeah.
We good?
I had the same situation. I mean, my wife has said the same thing about me doing, making those kind of statements, and those kind of movements, let's just say, without consulting her. But you're right. When she makes a decision like that, she considers that to be okay. And I got to call her on the carpet and say, whoa, let's get real. You just told me I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And I gave it to you. I was wrong, okay? You know?
Because, yeah. I mean, if you talk about it, you know, she comes to you, hey, honey, you know, I'm at the grocery store and I see this item that's on sale. If, you know, it costs $150. Can I get it? You like, yeah, go ahead, cool. You know, we good. And then she comes home and like, oh, Macy's had a shopping spree sale and I just bought $300 worth of stuff. I say, you know, it was $600. I saved $300. But, you know, they throw that I saved $300 because I got it off the clearance rack, but they didn't tell you they spent $300. That they were going to spend that amount of money. Is that an issue?
Of course it's an issue. Anytime you discuss something and they call it audible, it's definitely an issue. I mean, I talked about this a few weeks back because my wife is notorious for doing that, you know, really coaching me up on how I'm supposed to handle situations, make decisions, you know, making sure that I'm calling at different points to if plans change, that I'm definitely keep her informed and things like that. And, you know, yeah, for the most part, I'm doing that. But there's times, you know, where she'll call an audible or do whatever she wants to do. And it's like it was just some circumstance that brought that about, and it had to be done that way. And I'm just like, okay, well, wait a minute. When I actually had a so-called circumstance or a situation that arrived and I needed to call an audible, I mean, you would have thought that I'd emptied out the savings account or something and went to Vegas. You know, but that one is definitely one where that double standard is not good, because it seems like when they call audibles, it makes sense. And then, of course, they try to use all the little tricks and stuff to get you to forget it. They, you know, want to sit close to you and rub your leg and, you know, oh, just, you know, just forgive me. I'm sorry. No. You know? It's not going to work this time. Because believe me, I tried to do that. On the reverse, I tried to sit close, rub on her leg, and it gets me nowhere.
None.
Nothing.
I can agree with you on that one. Yeah, once you're in the doghouse as a man, you're in the doghouse. When women, they know how to get out the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
That is a double standard there. Anybody else?
That's a lack of control. you want what you want.
Is that what that is? It's just a lack of control? Cause
you know what you want.
That battle all the time.
Yeah, well, you know. You make a decision, you know, I'm gonna say no. Yeah, okay.
You know, there's I always say, you know, out of every 10 arguments, I'm going to win 2, because the 2 that I picked to win, they're darn near marriage breakers. So we don't have that many.
Mm.
But if I'm going to keep going and saying, no, we're not stopping until I win this one, then usually they can become marriage breakers, because I'm not taking no for an answer on some of those. I'm pulling a Tony because I said so. Here we go. Here's another one.
Oh, I like that, because I said so.
Yeah, that's Tony's word.
That's Tony's word.
Here for you, Tony.
I just said it. I don't own it.
Oh.
I haven't used it enough to own it.
Okay.
Like I said, you know, I may have used it a couple times, but not enough to really own it.
Oh. Okay.
And I can't even tell you if it's worked or
not.
Listen to this one.
I was gonna bring
your
hand to the hotel.
If you ask her to do something, she doesn't enjoy. That's dominating.
Oh my God! Something.
If she asks you, it's a favor. Y'all know where we get ready to go with this, don't you?
I know I already went.
It's 10 o'clock. You know where we get ready to go with this.
It's 10 o'clock. I've been waiting. I was getting ready to say it myself, but I'm going to let you have it.
Listen, I'm just going to set it off. If you ask
might
her
as well.
Something, she, you know, that she doesn't enjoy, that's domination. If she asks you, it's a favor. Let's just go and talk about it.
Let's just go ahead, man.
Let's put it out there, man. Sexual
favors. Put it out there.
Sexual favors. You know, is there double standards when it comes from men asking for sexual favors?
Why it got to be a favor?
That's right.
I don't know. Let's talk about it. Let's put it out there. It's
that's
out
what
there.
I want to know.
Yeah, it's on.
It's out there now. You know what said it. Why it got to be a favor?
Why it got to be a favor? That's your job.
Exactly. I don't feel like
why
I'm doing
be a job?
I don't feel like I'm doing you
why
a favor.
Why got to be a job?
Why you got to? Because I said so.
Why got to be a job? Oh, okay. Why got to be a job?
I don't know, man.
Joy.
But,
exactly.
You know, those things that they did to us without even us asking before when we were in the courting stage, you know, when everybody, everything was fair game. We have to ask for it when we get married.
Still
you know, you don't do enough of this, or let's just break it down. Let's just talk about it. I mean, we grown men now here, oral sex.
And you know that was the
setup. I know what you're saying. It ain't going to happen.
You know that was the setup, man.
Yeah.
That
ain't going to happen.
It was a setup, for sure. It was a setup.
Yeah.
It was a setup. Because guess what? Now you have to earn it. Now you got to wash the dishes. Take the kids to and from whatever practice they got. You got to get home from where you got the X, Y, Z, double D to say, okay, now, can I get that?
Months.
And then, isn't that what drives men crazy? Because that's one of our pet peeves. That's what we like.
You know, we can always leave hints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can put
But listen. Say the rest of it, Patrice. Say the rest of it.
Man,
you only went halfway.
Yeah, this is what we
want
like.
Me to do it.
Go ahead, cause you know I ain't scared. You know,
I don't have a problem. Because when we go, you see what I'm saying? Somebody said once 68, and I owe you one. When we go, to work, ain't nothing to it.
I
you
mean,
see what
I'm
saying?
At a
we already know the outcome.
That's right.
We had a buffer. I mean,
I'm asking for that. We eat like we eat sloppy fat. I mean, let's just be honest. We down there, face looking real shiny. Because, you know, we want to make sure that this night ends fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think what it is we don't want to initiate every single time.
No. I want the return on my investment.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the real reason?
This is like a serious investment.
Isn't that the real reason why we get married is, not, I mean, for sexual pleasure, is when we're behind closed doors, the rule is anything goes?
Yep.
You know,
that was my reason.
You got a hard day at work, I'm going to rub your stinking feet. I ain't going to wait to wash them. I'm going to wash them and maybe even, you know, get between them calluses, you know, whatever I got to do.
Hey, Patrice, you bought the lie.
I don't know about that.
I mean, but I'm just saying.
I don't know about all
between them toes, you're gonna massage. You're gonna do all these things behind the closed doors because this is your wife.
I'm thinking we should leave hints, man, like rose petals up to a pair of knee pads.
Right.
Hey, listen. I don't even think you need to. I don't think you even need to mention the foot massage.
Okay.
You don't even have to go. You don't have to go any further than when we get our knees dirty. It's not a problem. We don't have a problem. But for them to get their knees dirty, it's a favor. It's your birthday.
Father's Day on
Sunday. Like that. I've been looking for Father's Day.
It's Father's Day. It's the wedding anniversary. It's a special occasion.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. That's terrible, man.
Why would you convince them?
You'd be trying to think, you know, I really don't. I don't want to pay a prostitute for that.
No.
I don't want to do that.
But you know, they get mad at you. They have gotten mad at men. And they have had round tables. We all been at the round tables with all these women that says men ain't nothing but dogs.
No, but they always said the man is having his midlife crisis when he got to have it and he's not getting it and go out and do it somewhere else.
Ain't a midnight crisis. That's the first thing we find out. It's all popping since teenagers.
But what's it all about, fellas? It's all about communication. You know, have you communicated that that's, you know, what happened? You know, y'all say, you know, that
come
you'd
on,
be on
man.
And popping before you got married.
I love to say.
Yeah. Me.
Hey, Rodney, I would love to say communication is a good part of this one. But
no,
y'all know that
no.
It's just going to one ear and out the other.
Yeah,
no, it absolutely
that
does work. You got to communicate it. You got to communicate it.
Then communicate
it. Get across.
Then what?
You know, you got to communicate it in a way that they can receive it. You know, because you know, you got to. You have to articulate it in a way where they realize that it's important.
I'm saying leave the knee pads.
Yeah, get there.
Okay, hold on. You just said something. How do you stress the importance of that? I mean, just how do you break it down? The importance of it? Because you said it's important. We know it's important, but how do you break it down?
I think it's very simple. You just say, don't you like it when I do it? I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, you ain't got to go no further than that.
The answer is yes.
Exactly. So it's like,
but
you know,
it's yes, with a however, with a semicolon and a however afterwards.
The answer is yes, but I just don't like that.
No.
Man. So, how much prostitutes cost for that stuff anyway?
I don't know. I'm just eating a line. Stop the street. But I mean, go ahead.
I don't know how many men there are on this call or that are listening on the radio.
I thought you were going to tell me. Young prostitutes, little one. Anyway, go ahead.
Listen. If we did a poll, I would clearly say 9 out of 10, comfortably, have dealt with the same issue.
Okay.
9 out of 10 have got that issue. It was all good at one point, and then at some point, now it's a favor.
I think that's because we're not married to white women.
First of all, it was never there for me, ever. So it was never a thought for me. It's just something I wanted.
Well, you're ahead of the game. You didn't get set up.
Yeah, well. No, well,
I'm not going to say ahead of the game, but, you know,
yeah,
at least it wasn't promised. Well, not
no
promised, but at least it wasn't presented.
There's no head here.
But it's just weird, man, that we have to, for as much as we're asked to do as a man, right?
Yeah.
And we all know that Ephesians says that women must submit to their men. Why is it such a problem?
Except that.
I didn't see an exception in there that says accept sex. Is it something that we're doing wrong? Maybe it is communication. But how do you, I mean, when you ask that question, is that something that you're going to ask every single time? Don't you like it? When I do it to you?
I don't know. There's a guy at my church. He's always opening his door, opening doors for his wife. He's always treating her. He gives the personification of treating her like a queen. Now, I don't know, but he always seems very, very happy. Okay, he always has a big smile on his face. I don't know what that's coming from. I don't know where all that treating her like a queen comes from. I don't know, but that might have something to do with it. You know, and he might be just as happy for good reasons.
Well, he may be happy because he has achieved the fact that he has mastered that he's just going to have to live without that. He's mastered it.
That's whack.
The reality.
That's a shame that you got to live without something that you like, especially with your own wife, and especially if you got to ask for it or bring it up every time. That's going to be definitely a problem. That's going to be a problem. You know, the way I look at it, going back to what was said earlier, you know, you get married, you know, for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
And one of those right reasons is so that you can do things with your wife, with your spouse, with your life mate for the rest of your life.
Right.
And it's like, if you're not going to do it with me,
yeah,
if you don't feel comfortable doing it with me, then it goes back to what Rodney said, is you may need to have some strong communication about it to get to that point. But you shouldn't have to settle for not doing it or just only having it once out of the year, maybe on Father's Day or your birthday or something. I mean, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And to be like, don't you like it when I do it for you? Because they'll give you some slick response and you know, well, there's things that I do for you right now that I don't like, but I'm doing those, you know, blah, blah, blah. They'll give you some slick response or something. But this is far greater than that. This is something where you need to be able to express yourself behind closed doors with your husband, because you need to do this. You know, I don't know how you really convey that in a way that's not making you seem like you're like a fifth grader raising your hand, or like Chris Rock said, hey, excuse me. You don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with your own wife.
Yeah.
That's funny. Chris Rock made jokes about that.
Yeah, I mean, but that's crazy. You think about, I mean, honestly, what we're talking about is you want to be able to enjoy your wife. I mean, that's all it comes down to. And it's like, wow, you know, that goes both ways. Things you're going to do with her, things she's going to do to you, whatever. But that's unfortunate that, you know, we kind of have to settle. And there are a lot of men that just say, you know what, yeah, I'm just not going to get that. But I guarantee you that is a source, that is a hot button. If you're not taking care of home, it can jump out at you in different ways, because we've talked about this. The devil can try to weave his way into your life, into your home, in a lot of different ways. You don't think that's not one of them ways? And one of the most basic, simple, lustful pleasures there is for you to be somewhere and somebody just whistle on your neck or touch your back of your hand or something, and you just be like, what? What did you say?
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be entertaining the conversation. You're not going to entertain the conversation. But the fact is that if you were just taking care of home and open your mind and perspective towards it, I mean, here's a lot of things. I've actually talked to a lot of, I remember growing up, there are a lot of women that just don't do that.
Yep.
They just don't do it. And they feel like it's okay. And you just need to adjust. Well, that's a tough adjustment. That's all I'm going to say. That's a tough adjustment.
It is. Because,
yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. That is the number one reason why men, none of us on this call, but, you know, we've all seen it, that men step out with these messages.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's not that the wife is not having sex with her husband at home. Right? It's
right.
Not that she's not doing, you know, these things that we like. It's just that they're not doing it often enough. And because of that, these guys move away from the home because they get somebody every time they walk in the house. You know, to that person's house, that's what they get.
The mistresses cost a lot. They cost more than a prostitute.
Yeah. But a man, but the problem is,
it's ongoing.
It's ongoing, but I think the problem is a man doesn't care. Because that's what a man looks for. And and because this is what a man looks for,
and you're right,
we're having problems keeping marriages alive, because there is a double standard, and the women haven't figured out that, oh, they just go with the assumption, well, if I do it, you know, on these special occasions or sometimes, then I should be, you know, held accountable for what I'm doing, when you should be doing this more. You should be free with your sex. You should be free with your intercourse and what you do behind your closed doors, and not hesitant because you just don't feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Also, that's good words too. But women should really be careful of that, because as men, we find a way to justify our actions.
Yep.
We find a way to justify, and for us, all we have to do is justify it to ourselves. 9 times out of 10, we don't care about who else we got to talk to. If we justify it ourselves, if we step outside that marriage and say, well, you know what, she's intentionally not taking care of this. She's intentionally, she showed it, it happened before, it was great, then all of a sudden my water's cut off, it ain't happening no more, there's no reason, just I don't feel like it tonight, tomorrow, this month, or whatever, or I never really liked it, I just did it for you, you know, in the beginning, or whatever the case may be, but we may take it personal and say, well, she's intentionally not doing this, and then we step out and get it somewhere else and justify in our mind that we're right by doing so.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's crazy. But that's the whole concept of what I'm saying. You just got to take care of home. Because for you not to want it, this is the part I don't get. And this is a double standard. It goes back to, do you not like doing it? You like it when I do it to you? Yeah, of course they do. So the fact is, why wouldn't you do it with me? What's the problem? Like, what is the dilemma? And I guess what's difficult about this conversation, this topic, is because it's like, especially if you're giving to her what she needs,
mm-hmm.
you would expect the same thing. And especially, and I think sometimes what makes it also difficult for us men is, I'm not going to anyone else. I'm coming to you first as my wife.
Mm.
You're telling me no?
Exactly.
I'm coming to you only.
Right, and you're telling me no? Why are you telling me no?
Man.
You know, and that's hard to swallow, because it's like, wow, we in this together, you know, all the little vows and whatnot and all of this. And it's like, all I want to do is be close to you. There's things that I like that I would love for you to experience them with you. And I know you might have to maybe say all of this stuff in some shape or form or fashion. But it's like, to have your wife telling you no.
I think it's a lot deeper than that. And
I said all that, by the way, but go ahead. Keep going, bro.
Yeah, it's a lot deeper than that. And, you know, the whole point is that it's mental for them. So in some corner of their mind, you don't deserve it. So
there you go.
You have to tap into don't you deserve it. And, again, it goes back to my earlier point of that it's all about communication. And, until you tap into that corner of their mind where, you know, this guy don't deserve that. I ain't doing that. You know what I'm saying? Until you do that, it's just always going to be a problem, you know. So you have to get down to the root cause of the issue, and that is not the issue.
But when you're married,
how did that become a specialty? How is that now a specialty? Out in the world, out in the street, that's one of the sleaziest acts possible in the street. People get it in their car, they get it on the side. I mean, you know, prostitutes do it all the time. It's sleazy. In your bedroom where it's not sleazy, how is that? I mean, how is that on the specialty list? You got to deserve it, but I'm giving it to you.
You deserve part of
but
it.
I got to deserve it back.
That's a tough word to swallow. Deserve it. Deserve it. What are you, my parent? I mean, what deserve it? I mean, just imagine if we were to pull that word out in other aspects surrounding our wives. Well, you don't deserve this.
Hmm.
Imagine what that would get us. It would not be positive. And you know it wouldn't be positive.
But that's the reality. And I think, you know, Tony, you answered your own question. Is that you just said it was sleazy. It's the sleaziest thing. You know, so that's in the back of their mind as well.
Right.
You know, so it's not like, you know, when you do it, you know, or when a guy does it out in the world, it's not considered sleazy. You know, it's like, I mean, there's your double standard right there. I mean, it's not, it's nothing. It's like, oh, he did. Oh, he's, hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, you could, you know, eat up the whole world, but you won't be considered sleazy. Whereas on the flip side, if you got a lady that's doing that, it's like, ooh, you're slutty.
Okay,
I mean,
let me break down the sleazy part. If your coworker is performing that to you in a stall in the male bathroom, that's sleazy. If your wife in your marital bedroom is performing that, that is not sleazy. You see what I'm saying?
No, but what? Yeah,
so
I see what you're saying. But what you're missing is that the whole idea behind it. Again, as I said, the double standard. Back to the topic at hand is that it's not sleazy for a guy to do it. But it is sleazy for a woman to do it, even inside the marital bedroom. It's in the back of their mind, like, you know what I'm saying? So the whole opinion in society is that that's not cool. You wouldn't,
I think you're right.
You know, you wouldn't marry that girl that's done, you know, done that to the whole football team. You know what I'm saying? You might get down with her, but you wouldn't marry her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like that double standard where it's the whole thing is where that's not...
It's beneath her.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Okay.
But you have to get her to... This is what I'm pointing is that you have to get her to the point where, yes, she realizes it's sleazy when, you know, you're doing it in the bathroom stall or, you know, on the subway or wherever, but you have to get her to a point where she's so comfortable and so into you that just is not even a problem. You know, and that's what goes back to my point of it's all about communication, where it's not about that. It's about something totally deeper than that. Whereas I think you mentioned you wasn't taking the recycling down to the end of the curb. You know, where you just, I mean,
yeah,
you
but
took the recycling down.
Are we still talking about our wife?
Yeah.
Really be sleazy?
Are we still talking about our wife? Or are we talking about somebody we just date?
No, he's talking
about
you know. He's saying this is the reason why 85% of marriages are not seeing this happen to them. There's a lot of men are complaining because of the communication. Am I right with that, Rodney?
I don't know about 85%, but, I mean, the thing about it is that it's all about communication, and, you know, as I said, is that it's not about that. It's like you can tell her that you want it, but, again, in the back of her mind, she's like, it's sleazy, and the word I used before, he don't deserve it, for whatever reason, and that may not be the best choice of words, but that's what she's thinking. And you have to, you know, work on that piece of the whole thing, and then the rest will follow.
Okay, so in essence, what you're saying, if she's thinking that it's sleazy, because that's what you're saying, prior to us getting married in the beginning of the marriage when it was on the regular, it wasn't sleazy then or was sleazy, but they had a sense of purpose. Something to accomplish.
And she
so
was
they
not
did what they had
then.
To do to get what they wanted.
Again, she's a wife now. She's
okay,
a mother
so the,
now. The dynamics change. The mentality changed.
Hey man, hold on.
You know?
How does it go backwards when you get married? It seems like it will open up when you get married, not go backwards.
No, it should. It should. But the reality is that, you know, like you said, is that she did that to get you. You know, so that's why it's like, and I think somebody said it earlier, is that it's, I ain't really like doing that anyway. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't, you know.
So it's
it
a setup. So it's
exactly.
A setup.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a setup. It is what it is. I mean, there's no other way to say it. There's a lot of things that we did. I'm not even going to go down that road. Because there's a lot of things that we still doing that we did. And especially in that area, most of us are still, you know what I mean, it's not an issue for us.
Yeah, but in that area,
you know,
now,
so I don't
she
think
needs
it's a
some,
setup on our part.
You know, she at this point, you know, now that she's married, you know, she needs something more than just, you know, here you go. I mean, she needs something more than that. And you got to tap into what that quote-unquote more is. And that's different for every one of your ladies, so, you know.
Wow. Sound like you got this thing down to a science.
All about communication, man. That's what is what the whole thing about this call is that it, no matter what it is, whether it's finances or sex or whatever, you have to be able to articulate it in a way where she receives what you're saying. just because you say it doesn't, and Andrew pointed out earlier, just because you say it, it may be received a totally different way. You know, some of the things I say to my wife, she receives as an attack. Well, I'm just like, I'm just speaking the truth. I'm not trying, my intention is not to hurt you or to not to, you know, hurt your feelings, but that's how she receives it. So I have to rewind and say, you know, I have to go about it a different way so she's not feeling that I'm attacking her or tearing her down, you know, where I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just saying what's true, you know, and, you know, it's got to be more tactful and timely, you know, when I say what I say, but it's all in how it's received. You may perceive that you're saying it and articulating in a way that she can totally understand. That's because you understand it, but obviously she's not getting it.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that selfishness?
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you the problem I have with that. And I'm basing what I'm about to say on the conversation that we're actually having. And if we talk about the mere fact that it was something that was never liked, that it was being done to get what she wanted, and we've agreed on that because that can happen. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how much communication you have. If she don't like doing it, she ain't going to do it.
That's right.
Period.
That's the
because then it's going to be flipped back like, well, you know I don't like doing that, and no matter, and you're still coming to me with this, so yes, you're attacking me. You're nagging me. You know this is not what I like to do. I just did it because I wanted to make you happy at that time.
There you go. You just said a magic word.
So it
she
might
don't
not be communication.
No, but she don't want to make you happy anymore.
Well, you still...
It's something about that she doesn't feel the need to go the extra mile to make you
exactly.
happy anymore. That's the problem.
Both those conversations were exactly
okay.
correct.
Okay. You can have that one.
It's the truth. It's the truth. It's like she was going the extra mile
you can have that
to make
I'm
you
not
happy.
Buying it.
And now she's like, whatever.
I'm not buying it.
He can get over it. He can do without, as y'all said before. But, you know, back to the brother that was opening car doors, maybe that brother's getting it. Maybe y'all need to open some car doors.
I'm saying.
Bump it. That's why we got the key fob.
Oh, man.
Man.
All the doors are locked at the same time. You better get in.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? Hey, I can do the same thing. Do you deserve for this door to be open for you? Because I opened the door to get you. Now you know I didn't like doing that.
You didn't want doing without, so you figure it out now.
Yeah.
Well, this is going great, fellas, and I appreciate everybody's on this call. For the folks that are on WNJRNewark.com, if you want to chime in, please call in to 724-444-7444. The call ID is 59898. To keep this going, here's another question. If she has a headache, she's tired. If you have a headache, man, you a punk, you gay, you want whatever you want to call it. Selfish. Unwilling.
Double standard.
Is that a true story?
Been with somebody else before you came home?
Yeah, been with somebody else before you came home?
That was what I was about to say.
Anybody want to chime in on that?
You basically can't never say no, really.
Yeah, can a man ever say no?
We can't ever say no, man.
Nope.
But we don't.
I never
That's
wanted to.
That's a problem. We don't ever say no. So when we do say no, something's up.
Yep, that's right.
We could be laying in the bed with the flu and still get some. Yeah. Doesn't matter to us.
Yep. Yep.
I never get the question. You know, I mean, because I never realized the way, you know, it took me many years to figure out the way she asked the question is not direct at all. Just lets me know things are okay. Come on. You know, I got to figure it out.
I
never get the question.
That's good. Anybody else? What about this one? This goes back to what we were talking about on the oral, but let's just talk about sex in general. if you want it too often, the woman feels like you're oversexed. If you don't want it, then they feel that you have another partner or something. That's what's wrong with her. They put the burden on themselves. Why is that a double standard?
You know how you are. I'm just playing.
If the activities change, I mean, they say you have to, finish what you start.
Yeah.
And if some point in time you stop being intimate, you stop wanting to, have these moments with your wife, then, it will definitely raise some, alarms.
Mm.
I think.
All right. Anybody else?
That's a double standard, fellas. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I get it, because part of it is we're guys, so it's in our nature to always be ready to go, even if you flat out mad with them. They could come in mad, but you will still work it out. You will still work it out. And you know what? And your anger will just leave you.
Isn't that what it's always called? You never go to bed angry.
It is. Your anger will just leave you, But it's one of those things where it is a double standard, because here it is. It's like, if I don't feel like doing something, don't feel like I got somebody on the side or I'm doing something or something's going on. Maybe I just don't feel like doing something. And that is crazy. It's like, if they come at you, you better be ready to go. It's almost like you got to be a dog waiting around on the carpet, ready for when master comes to take you out for a walk. You better be ready. But the flip side is they might not, you might not go for a walk with them many times. But it's like when they say, all right, this is it, it's like we got to come with our tongue out ready to go. What do you want to do now, Spike? What do you think? I think about that cartoon where that little dog was jumping over that big dog. Spike, what are you doing now? Where you want to go, Spike? Where you want to go? That's kind of how it is, and it's a double standard.
That's
unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
It is.
It is. All right, here we go.
Got to be on call.
Y'all ready for this one? I got mine. It's not my fault you didn't get yours.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Hey, women upset.
You took it there, didn't
this
you?
This is where I got it from the round table, is that, we overset and then we only think about ourselves, selfishness. All the conversations I had during the week with folks, men and women, about this topic, comes down to selfishness, man. It just, you got to get, I got mine. I'm good. I'm going to sleep. Holler at you in the morning. I'll get you next time.
How's that double standard, though? I think that's just straight selfish.
Yeah.
Because, if a woman did that, we would probably be upset if we realized.
Be selfish on both parts.
Because, my whole goal is both of us will get ours, and then, we go to sleep, and then that's why I drink coffee all the time. But
whatever
I don't know.
If I'm left short, 3 o'clock in the morning, gotta get up.
Yeah, if you fall short, you gotta, that's why everybody has stock in Starbucks.
No, we gotta try again. Yeah, we gotta finish. We ain't through yet.
But there's sometimes where we don't finish. And for us, a woman thinks that's a double standard. That from a woman's point of view, is he's all out to get his and not concerned about me.
But what's the double standard part about that? I'm a little confused.
Well, the double standard part is,
it's just selfishness.
It's just selfishness part.
That's just straight selfishness.
Yeah.
But that goes back to my question. Is double standard come from selfishness? Does double standard come from selfishness? because this is what I'm thinking. I think that it is an attitude that I'm in a relationship to receive something from you. I expect you to meet my needs and my desires, even though I'm not ready, no, really concerned about meeting yours. That's what I'm looking at double standards as selfishness is. That attitude is destined to cause failure in any relationship when we bring it back to the marriage.
No, it's all about what you focused on. A buddy of mine that's no longer with us said to me one time, he made me kind of embarrass me. He said, "You know, a woman with him would never go without. When he get finished, they through. He give them all they need plus some." And I thought about that, and the way he said it, I just took it basically that way. I thought about this, and you know what? That's what's going to happen, period. I'll make sure I'm not the only one getting taken care of here. Because obviously, you know, it's easier for us to get taken care of than for them, than for women. It takes them longer to get what they need to have. You got to stay in power.
Yeah.
Hey, is that so that's borderline personality flaw, I would think.
Yeah.
Because if you have a wife and your main objective is to take care of yourself and leave her hanging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's probably how you are outside of your household as well.
Yep.
I would think. It's just inconsiderate. You know, now there's other things that happen, you know, men get older, things their body doesn't act the same. Medications that they may take or whatever the situation is, things that are out of your control. You know what I mean? But if you're not handling your business, I just think that that's a personality thing that somebody, they're like that in their bedroom and they're also like that outside dealing with the public as well.
Yeah.
I think it goes deeper than that.
Cool.
All that matters is number one.
Well, unfortunately, guys.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
But see, a woman is so much different than us, which you all know. We have to learn them. We have to figure out what their hot buttons are and what's going to take for them to achieve that climax or whatever the case may be. For us, it's real simple. We're going to get it regardless. But for them, we have to take the time to figure out what is it going to take for them to be satisfied. And I think that if we don't take that time, well, like Rodney says, have the communication or have the conversation, then it's a one-way street. And then, no, you don't deserve it. That's when that you don't deserve comes into play when it's talking with the oral sex. No, then at that point, she's going to say, well, I'm not being taken care of, so why should I, you know, give you that kind of pleasure when I'm not getting it?
Exactly.
Good words. Good words. Well, I have 10:42 over here on my side of the clock, Eastern Standard Time, and I just want to move on because even though we could talk about sex all night, there's other things that we need to talk about. And one is with men, the most common form of double standards is over finances. You know, sex is a big part. You know, I think finances is even huger. Men complain about their wives spending money on clothes while they're spending money on their cars, boats, hunting, equipment. You know, there's some miscommunication that always happens when it comes down to finances. It goes down to a couple of things. I heard some folks say you need 3 bank accounts, a his, a hers, and ours, where, you know, you contribute a lot of your money to the bills into the our account, and then you have allowances that you keep in your account, your own personal account, so that if you did want to go buy anything, you're using money out of your allowance account and then not out of the our account, which is just basically for the house. that solves a lot of these problems. But you have a lot that just have one joint account and money's going all over the place, and then that's where you have issues with double standards on who is responsible for not only the bills, but what comes into the home, who can buy what. Anybody want to chime in on that?
I think that's definitely a double standard. You know, because we as men don't want our wives telling us what we can spend and what we can buy.
Exactly.
You're not mother.
But is it okay to say, hey, baby, I'm going to go buy this, I'm looking at getting this 14-foot boat. You might say,
I hope you're going to get one bigger than that.
I just threw a number out there. I know that's probably a real small boat, but
that's a bad.
But it's just one of those things, man. Isn't that part of double standards? Is finance?
It is, and I think as Rodney said, you know, we got to get to communication. It's got to be communication. One of the hardest things for us men to do is to submit in that role of finance. You know, because we feel less than a man if that's taken from us a lot of times, that we have to go and ask, oh, can I have $20? Wait a minute, I'm making money. I'm a man, I don't have to ask you that. That's my money.
And on the flip side, you know, we think we're so I guess, generally speaking, men are more, math comes a little bit easier, and that's, again, generally speaking. There are some women that are very intelligent when it comes to mathematics and sciences and engineering, that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, it's difficult for a man to go to a woman and ask advice or counsel when it comes to finances, because we think that we are superior in that area. And a lot of times, you know, what we find is that actually our wives, you know, our ladies in our lives have a lot more discernment and can look at some things from a different angle that we probably never even thought of, and give us some, you know, some enlightenment, you know, before we go, you know, buy the yacht or whatever the case may be. But a lot of times we feel that we got everything under control. It's like, I don't even need to talk to her because, you know, she's not going to, you know, I'm good with the numbers, so there's no need me even talking to her, whereas it might be a great value and a great benefit because she can respond in a way that you never even thought of.
Good words. Anybody else? Well, moving off the finances, I want to talk about family. And I got this, I'm going to read what this question is from this lady I got off the internet. And let's see if anybody has had this problem or is having this problem right now in their marriage. Okay. My husband absolutely detests my parents and will not even be in the same room with them. He has threatened to take out a restraining order on them if they contact him. They are a bit socially awkward and sometimes say rude and insensible things without realizing it. Excuse me. But they are not evil people. I'm very upset at the thought that I cannot have a normal relationship with them and him at the same time. What makes this even worse is that I am expecting to go out of my way for his mother. I am supposed to call her several times a week to find out how she is doing and to visit her every few weeks at her home. I resent the fact that his mother deserves the type of care and treatment, while my parents only deserve his contempt. All right. I have tried and tried to express how upsetting this is to me, but he just justifies his behavior by saying that my parents are bad and his mother is good. We have tried couples counseling, but he is not budging on the issue. I am very sad and depressed about the whole thing. I am reluctant to have children with a man who is so judgmental. What should I do? What else can I try?
I think that's a whole different ball of wax. I don't think that's a double standard. I think there's some deep issues this guy, and it's surprising she didn't see that before she married him, you know, but that's not a double standard. This guy's got some issues.
Well, this guy got some issues, but I was looking at the bigger picture. Do we have, you know, don't we want our wives to love our mothers as we love our mothers?
Sure.
But, you know, we shouldn't care about their love for their own mothers because, you know, they just aren't brought up the way we were brought up, or you just don't have that understanding of that family's values because they don't match what you think the values should be. Don't we see that all the time? Oh, Lord, the in-laws is coming. How long are they staying? You know, I got to change my schedule around for them. You know, you see it all the time on TV. You hear people talk about it all the time. Oh, my in-laws are coming. And there's just some marriages where men or women don't like their in-laws. Is that a double standard?
Some people don't like other people.
That's just basically the answer, right?
I mean, why does it got to be in-laws? I mean, some people just don't like other people. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know.
It can be their brother or sister or something.
It can be your brother or sister because it's a personality conflict. But you still have to respect who these people are. They're your wife or your husband's parents. You know, I'm fortunate that, you know, I love my in-laws, you know. But part of that is because I know they raised a beautiful woman, and I respect them for that.
Yeah, but I think you have a point to say that I know personally, I, you know, between running and ripping and, you know, pretty much, you know, working a lot at the church on Sunday, like, in my downtime, I don't want to spend time with nobody else other than my family. You know, I don't, you know, unless I absolutely have to.
Right.
And that's because it's not that, you know, I don't, it's just that I'm just so busy, I think, that I don't even really spend any quality time with just my family, and that I'm not the type of person where as soon as I got an opening, it's like, oh, you know, this weekend I ain't got nothing to do. I cherish, though. I look forward to those days where I can, you know, really log some time with just the family. So, you know, it's, you know, I tell people it's nothing personal. You know, people take it personal, but I just would rather chill with my, you know, with my nuclear family. And that does not include my parents. That does not include my brother and his family. You know, I love them to death, but it's just like I just want to hang with my family. And, you know, it's not that I don't like them, but again, I think, you know, you mentioned that you still have the respect, you know, that, you know, if somebody wants to come over or whatever, you know, you have to definitely be flexible. But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, you're absolutely right that, hey, you know, maybe you just want to just hang with your family and not, you know, just utilize that time to hang with somebody else or to do something. Because I look forward to those weekends where I don't have to do nothing. You know, because it's not that often.
But if it's always, you know, the situation where you don't want to be with her family, then I think that becomes an issue. I mean,
because
there's nobody that has a family that everybody gets along with everybody.
Right.
I mean, you know, in every family, there's one or two that man, if you had your choice, you wouldn't be around them. But you don't have a choice because they're in the family.
Right.
you let that influence you and say, well, you know what, we're never going over there. We're not going to do that. We're going to be with my family but not yours. That is, I think
double
that's
standard. That's a double standard because, you know, she feels that same way with some folks in your family that you just tolerate, and it doesn't bother you as much because they're blood relatives or whatever the case may be. So that's definitely a double standard.
And I think that's something that we men probably put out more than the women. They kind of will put up with stuff like that, and we might say, oh, you know what, I'm not going if so-and-so is going to be there.
Yep. Because I said so, like Tony says.
I'm going to try to use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to see you with a black eye.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to you? Like, I was listening to Tony. Tony said, I told you so.
Well, here's the monkey wrench of the night. And I don't have a lot of research on it, but I believe there may be folks that have gone through this or know somebody who's going through this. Is there double standards in interracial marriages? Meaning you marry outside of your race. Is there some double standards there you have to deal with in your marriage?
I think that's a whole different topic, bro.
That's a little heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy?
That's a whole different topic.
That's a little heavy.
Okay.
Yeah. But go ahead.
I mean, to me it would be. Because we're already talking about, and when we're talking about the family, this could be one of the reasons why. There's differences in religion, differences in how somebody was brought up, expectations, how to raise the children. And when it comes, especially when it comes to husband and wife in that communication talk about how to raise, let's just break it down, let's narrow it down a little bit, to how to raise the children. In raising your child, you know, this culture, you know, I was brought up this way. I want my child to be brought up this way. Well, you're not comfortable for it that way as the head of household. Are we looking at a double standard?
You know what's funny is that
I don't know if that's a double standard.
Yeah, but there's a lot of that comes into play with. I've met a police officer that told me that. He didn't want to buy a house in a black neighborhood. Too many black people. He's a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to buy a house with too many black people in the neighborhood because they're just too rowdy. And there's an assumption from people that just because you look like me, you'll like my music. So therefore, when I want to play my music, I'll play it loud and everybody will enjoy it. Well, if you're not sure of that, you're more respectful of that. You know, if you got a white person in a black neighborhood, he's less likely to play his music really loud because probably nobody else wants to hear it. You know, he might think that. When you have a white interracial situation, there's more of that thought where my natural thought of movement to doing something may not be correct because what I would do, these people wouldn't do. You know, that's, you know,
yeah.
Whether it be a cultural thing, you know, white, black, Chinese, whatever the case may be. But in reality, whether you're white or black, really doesn't matter when it comes to that kind of stuff. You still have those same things going on. You just don't realize that and don't pay as much attention. It's almost better to be interracial because you're recognizing there are differences. You are two people coming together from two different perspectives of life. You were raised differently. You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, well, no, different area. Sorry, I was about to start getting to adoptive children and stuff. You know, but there. You know, that's really, you know, we really need to recognize the fact that we are different. And if we can do that, we're more likely to be able to come to terms and be willing, like Rodney said, you know, talk and understand where we're actually coming from, what we're trying to achieve.
And that I agree with. And that
took me a while to do that.
Hey.
Not something he agrees with.
I do, man. I think about it, man. We put, I mean, as head of households, we got a lot of things to think about. We got a lot of things to understand. We got to, one, understand our wife. Two, we got to find out where those double standards are that's in our relationship and work through them. And I think Rodney is right. And on the way to work through the selfishness and the putting folks on a pedestal and doing all these things that we talked about tonight and getting what you want out of it, is we're going to have to communicate. We got to do a better job as head of households.
You can't get what you want unless you get, you know, I learned when I was a kid that if you want a pat on the back, you generate it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever give it to yourself. You generate it.
100% correct. And I believe that is through communication, just like Roger
yep.
said. And that's what starts it. Now, how it ends up, I hope it ends up great for everybody. But it is now 11 o'clock, and that is the end of our call for tonight.
Great, guys.
I just want to say thank you for everybody who enjoyed this topic and stayed on and talked about double standards throughout the night. Now, I want to also thank all of the radio listeners from WNJR-Newark.com, the thousands that were listening live by radio, internet broadcasting. Shout out to everybody from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Maryland, and North Carolina that are listening on the radio right now, and whoever else is listening. If I missed you, I'm sorry, but please join us next week with our next topic, which will be by the head of household, Mr. Tony T-Hawk. I believe his next topic is...
Tell him why you're mad, son.
Tell him why you're mad, son. That's it. Tell him why you're mad, son. Tell him no Bible study next week. This is real talk. Tell him why you're mad, son. So we're going to get it all out on the table next week. So right now, that is the end of the discussion of double standards, and now we go into what we call open mic. That is where anybody on the phone or in the chat room has anything they're dealing with that they want to talk about or discuss, and we bring it out in the open. It's us be grown men to talk about this call.
Yes,
anybody have anything for open mic?
Start the recording, sir.
Oh.
Yes, that's recording.